listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow, live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life service for Wednesday, April 13th, 2016. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, good evening. Glad to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And in addition to this weekly service, we also have several other educational programs. EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for friends and family of alcoholics and addicts. Paranexus.org, which is an association of anomalous researchers. MetaphysicsInstitute.org, which offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, hypnosis, paranormal, parapsychology, and several others. And Thomas Francis University, which offers standalone courses in metaphysical topics and as well as degrees at tfuniversity.org. As we get into our program, I want to do our abbreviated principles of belief. There are 9 of them. And, of course, they form the basis of everything we talk about. The first one is do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And for an expanded review of these 9 principles of belief, please visit metaphysicalhumanism.org. I'd like to welcome those of you who are joining us in the live chat room. Good to see so many here. And I also welcome those who are listening to the archive. It's nice to have you with us tonight. Now, tonight we're going to focus on improving close relationships, and I have my 10 principles of empowered relationships I'm going to share with you briefly. These are taught in course B for the bachelor's course 4 in our IMHS degree program. And to kind of kick us off, Dr. Hunter is going to read a relevant card from our inner oracle card deck.
I am indeed. It's number 40 in the life skills suit, relationships. And it reads, healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship regardless of who it's with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship or to the relationship of one thing to another. And that's, of course, if you draw this particular card from our inner oracle self-discovery cards. So that's how we're going to kickstart the 10 points in relationships.
Okay, so I'm not going to spend a long, long time on these, but we've gone over these before. But I'm going to really focus on how to improve close relationships as I relate these 10 different points. So if you are in a close relationship with someone, you're having problems and all that, which many do, then you'll want to pay close attention to some of these different points. Now, the first of the 10 principles is know and accept yourself. Nothing good could come about with anything in life if you don't know and accept yourself. Now, this gets into what I call energy signatures. It's also known as the vibe. We all give off a vibe. I call them energy signatures. And the reason I do is because this vibe that we give off is a combination of our beliefs, self-belief, our attitudes, our core values. And that all depends on the knowledge that we have accumulated and take in. So energy signatures are basically the energy that you give off, the vibe you give off to other people. Now, I draw a contrast between energy signatures. It's either healthy or not healthy. Now, yes, it can be in between, sure, as we grow and evolve. But I want to point out let me back up and say it this way. There's a cosmic principle, like attracts like. We're all aware of that. Birds of a feather flock together. You've heard the saying. So like attracts like. That means if our energy signature is healthy, we will automatically attract other people whose energy signature is also healthy. Conversely, if our energy signature is unhealthy, then we will attract those with unhealthy energy signatures. And a lot of times people in toxic relationships, well, they're unhealthy energy signatures. It doesn't mean that they're bad or to be ashamed or anything. It just means they haven't grown enough yet. Look, we've all been there. I've been there. And when you're in that kind of a relationship, you got to really look at who you are. You start first with you. Know and accept yourself. So you have to grow. When you grow, when we grow, when we learn, when we take in more knowledge, when we evolve, our energy signature becomes more healthy, especially if we're focusing on the right kind of healthy behaviors. So to begin with any good relationship, you got to be healthy. You got to be in a good place. You know, you can't be fighting your own demons. So start there. Know and accept yourself. And before I go on to the next one, I'll pause and see if Dr. Hunter has any comments.
Well, I would only comment that I don't think there's a lot of people who know what healthy is, to be honest, and there's not a lot of healthy people. I don't think a lot of people have those basic life skills.
They don't, and that's what we're really hitting on tonight, too. So let's go on to the next one. Number two is know and accept the other person. Okay, so you've already done you know and accept yourself. You need to know and accept the other person. This gets into obviously energy signatures, and if our energy signature is healthy, then we attract the other healthy energy signatures. That's because healthy energy signatures are harmonically compatible. It's kind of like playing a song that is in tune, and all the instruments are in tune as well. They're harmonically compatible, and so when we have close relationships, we might be in a position where, well, when we started the relationship, you know, one or both were basically had an unhealthy energy signature. However, your energy signatures were harmonically compatible. And so you have to understand that about yourself as you go. So know and accept the other person. Now I'm going to expand on this just a little bit with the third principle, which is don't try to change, control, or manipulate others. We talked about this, I don't know, was last week or the week before. Don't try to change, control, or manipulate others. Let's focus this on our close relationships. Don't give unsolicited advice. That is the primary way that people try to control others. It is also the primary problem with most relationships. One or both of the partners are trying to control the other by giving unsolicited advice. And I'm going to tell you, don't do it. Don't do it. Now, and it was last week we talked about this. Can you share a concern? Sure. But be careful that you don't step over that boundary of offering unsolicited advice, because they're an adult just like you are. They have a right to live their life just like you do. Now, if they're doing something that you just can't live with, well, that's a different story. But they have the right to do it. Let's take alcoholism, for example. Say you're in an alcoholic relationship. You're the non-alcoholic, the codependent, and the other person's the alcoholic or the addict, right? One thing that you need to understand, and this is going to probably be a bit shocking to some of you, but one thing you need to understand is that person has the human right to drink themselves into the grave if that's what they want to do. They have the right to do that. You also have the human right of free will to not follow them there. I'm just going to pause for a second and let that sink in for a minute. So, think about it. Don't give unsolicited advice. Don't tell them what they should or shouldn't be doing. You know, you can share a concern if you need to, but stop trying to control the other person. Stop telling them what to do. That is one of the biggest problems in these relationships that are not working out. Just, you know, it's not that hard. Stop being controlling. Stop telling them what to do. Real simple. Stop it. And ask them to do the same. You know, now if they're not doing something that they agreed to do, well, that's a different matter. You know, I'd like to share a concern. You know, we had this discussion. You agreed to do this. I agreed to do that. I have been doing it, but you haven't. And I want to see what we can do to correct this. Okay. So I just brought up a dialogue, started a dialogue on this matter. So don't try to change, control, or manipulate others. Now, one other brief thing I'll mention here is we, you know, especially if you're Christian or some other Abrahamic religious concept, you're probably familiar with the concept of submissiveness. You know, women are supposed to be submissive to men. That's bunk. That's BS. It's baloney. It's not right. You know, get rid of submissiveness. You know, we're equal rights here, okay? Now, there's another concept that's much, much better. It's called deference or defer. Deference. And either party can defer to the better judgment of the other. So you have something you're discussing, and if the other person has a better solution, a better idea, a better line of reasoning, whatever, you can defer to that. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. You can defer to that. So deference, not submissiveness. Any points that you want to jump in on, Dr. Hunter?
Nope, I'm just listening along like everybody else watching a bit in the chat room.
Okay, I can't read the chat while I'm talking, so you can keep us up on that. Okay, so let's go to number four. Don't do for others that which they could and should do for themselves. Don't do for others that which they could and should do for themselves. Now, this is really the definition of codependence. You know, codependent people are strong people. And they can carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. And that's because they essentially do things for other people they could and should do for themselves. And that's called enabling. And so if you want to stop being codependent instantly, stop doing things for other people that those other people ought to be doing for themselves. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do a nice. That's not what we're talking about here. You don't want to practice bailing people out or doing things for them that they really ought to be doing for themselves. Not only is it's not fair to you, but it's not fair to them. And when we do that, or when we try to control, which is a form of, we're trying to control the other person is essentially what it boils down to. When we do that, we're basically denying the other person their human right of free will and their responsibility, their right to responsibility. So don't do things for the people that they could and should do for themselves, and that way you won't enable them potentially in some bad thing, bad practice, bad behavior, whatever. You have to let them stand on their own two feet. That is tough to do sometimes, especially if it's your children, adult children I'm going to focus on, not minors. You got to be taking care of them. But adult children, sometimes it's hard. But you have to respect them as adults, as human beings. And if you respect them and love them like you should, you won't be trying to control them. You won't be trying to manipulate them. You won't be trying to absolve them of personal responsibility. Just remember those points there. Now, and I'm going to consider a question from our 1PC community in just a moment. But one thing I want to highlight is interdependent relationships. Now, we don't want our relationships to be dependent. Now, we're talking adult relationships here. Not dependent, not codependent. We want interdependent. And basically, my definition for interdependent relationships, people in interdependent relationships do the following couple things, especially. Number one, they give of themselves equally in a mutually beneficial relationship. And two, they allow others to be who they are, make their own choices, and receive the benefits and or consequences of their actions, even if those choices and actions mean you go separate directions. Okay, so we have to respect the other person. Two people who are healthy in an interdependent relationship share the load. You know, they share the load. Now, we don't see that a lot in relationships. There's not two healthy people in the relationship. You have maybe one that's carrying more of a load than the other. And that's something you'll have to discuss between you. You've got to share the load mutually. You both share the load. So, you know, one person in the relationship might do several certain things they take care of in the household, whereas the other person will take care of different things in the household. But all things being equal, they share the load equally, pretty much equally. That's interdependent relationships. Now, I'm going to go to a question that we got. Any comments you want to make, Dr. Hunter, before I get into that question?
No, I think the question is, the timing is right about now.
Okay. So, we had a question posted on our oneplanetcommunity.com, which is our private Facebook-like network for our students and church members and members of our educational programs. And I'm going to read this and this paragraph and the question, so let me do that. The person writes, so I was writing project notes, having discussion in regards to the difference of healthy interdependent relationships and a codependent relationship. In this discussion, my views were that healthy validation is necessary to uplift the relationship. The other person shared that their opinion that validation can lead to the slippery slope of codependency, for they should be perfectly all right with themselves without it. I understand that healthy validation can have a powerful effect on your relationship. So, since studying healthy relationships are my all-time passion, I would love to possibly have this topic of validation in relationships, interdependent, codependent relationships up for discussion on the upcoming radio broadcast, which is what we're doing. Okay, so there's two different things here, primarily centering around healthy validation. And let me see, I actually have that coming up, so I might have been a little ahead of myself on this, but I'm going to go ahead and address it. There are a couple of types of validation. Ties in with what we call them esteem. Unhealthy validation ties in with them esteem. We all know what self-esteem is. Basically, you esteem yourself. Self-esteem means I validate myself and fulfill my own expectations. Them esteem means external validation and expectations. I only feel good about myself when I'm doing what somebody else thinks I should be doing. Whenever I get praise from somebody else, then I feel good about me. But without that praise or that validation from others, I don't feel good about me. That's them esteem. So unhealthy validation is essentially when we need it, when we can't feel good about ourselves without somebody patting us on the back. That's unhealthy. But there's a healthy kind of a validation too. True, you know, we have self-esteem, we're complete within ourselves, we don't, quote, need anyone else to validate us. That's great. But you know what? Doesn't mean we don't like to hear a word of encouragement at times. Doesn't mean we don't like to hear that somebody thinks we're doing a good job or we did a good job on a particular thing. You know, it's nice to hear those. It's nice to receive those pats on the backs. That's human nature. Yes, we don't need it to live. We don't need it to feel good about ourselves. But it sure is nice to hear it now and then, isn't it? And that's healthy validation. And as long as that's occurring in somebody who is basically standing on their own two feet, has self-esteem, then there is no danger of slipping into codependence. It's the unhealthy validation where the danger lies, because codependents need that. They'll do all this work for other people, and when they don't get anything back, they just get angry, and yet they keep doing it again and again. So I hope that helps with that question And Dr. Hunter, I'll let you weigh in on it as well.
Well, I think that when there is no healthy validation, I equal that to no interest. So, I mean, if somebody's not your cheerleader, your support system, somebody who's not encouraging now and again and, you know, on your side, doesn't have your back, means they're not interested.
I agree. And I'll tell you, you know, I know who I am, why I am who I am. I know what I do. I know me. I'm standing on my own 2 feet, complete within myself. I know who I am. And I don't need other people to tell me I'm doing a good job to know that I'm doing a darn good job. I don't need it. But I'll tell you, it sure is nice to hear it sometimes. You know, it's nice to hear when a student appreciates something and they share with me what it means to them to learn a new point or something like that that I've taught. That's nice to hear. You know, it's just a little pat on the back. It's good to hear. And that's what I equate with giving the good word, you know, the word of encouragement. And I'll say it again, I said it a zillion times. Okay, maybe not quite a zillion, maybe a half a zillion. One of the biggest things, the greatest needs that we have as people is just a good word now and then, a bit of encouragement. You know, life can get us down. We can get so, obsessed with day-to-day living, expenses, bills, maybe we're out of work, whatever it is. We can get down and discouraged. And if we can do no harm, do right, and a great way to do right is just to be encouraging to people. Give them a smile. Say, how you doing today? It's good to see you. Nice to talk with you again. Those kinds of things. And feel it. You know, hi, how are you? You don't care, do you? You know, why should I even answer? You don't care how I am. But wow, it's good to see you. How you doing? You know, I really enjoyed the way you did this. Or, you know, that's great that you can do this. You've really come a long way, and I appreciate that about you. That's encouraging, and that helps people to stand a little taller, and that encourages them getting to a point where they can actually improve their self-esteem. Because when you're completely discouraged and hopeless and all that, it's like, who cares about self-esteem? I hate myself too.
I would like to say that that's what we focus, I think, as instructors of the school. We focus on giving healthy validation. That is so critical to students in the program. Anyone who is learning, who has, you know, really, they're in a vulnerable place. They're exposed. And without that healthy encouragement, people flatline.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly, you know, we offer what we believe is constructive criticism, support, suggestions, ideas, you know, a little bit of feedback. But it is encouraging that we make comments, that we add things in. And I take that to heart because sometimes when I read these papers, I'll tell you what, my heart goes out to people. You know, that's and I'm. Their self-observations that they reveal, it's just exposure. So, I mean, that's a privilege to be a part of that process. So I'm going to say to everybody else, as much as the students and others might, you know, be grateful for the school, we are equally grateful in the sharing of the stories in people's lives as we go through the process with everyone from start to finish throughout the program.
Good points. And, you know, and I'll take this opportunity to express my appreciation for those of you who are tuning into this program, either the live broadcast or the archives. You know, I know how many people are tuned in to the live program. Some weeks it's more than others. And sometimes I wonder, gee, you know, is it really getting anywhere, going anywhere? I don't at this point, because we switched from Blog Talk Radio to our own server, I don't really have an easy means to determine how many people listen to the archives, but I know they do. And I appreciate it, and I mean that. You know, there's two reasons I do this program. One is for me, and one is for you. You know, it gives me a release. It gives me a way to leave something, you know, some legacy. It gives me a way to help others, and hopefully it's helpful. And so I appreciate those of you who take the time to listen. And, you know, we have lots of people who could and many who don't, but many of you do, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I also appreciate Dr. Hunter. I've told her this many times. You know, she's been here 5 years with me, and I'm still shocked. I mean, it's great. She's taking the ownership attitude with this thing. You know, she is who she is. She knows who she is, and she's been that way since day one. And that's why she's with us, because she's just a perfect fit. You know, so, and she's had so much life experience in so many different ways, yet similar in some ways to me, but different. And she's written some killer courses and original. I love it because it's original. It's different. It's a unique perspective, and that's what I love to see. So, you know, my hat's off to you, Dr. Hunter. I appreciate
thank you
and appreciate you being here.
You know, it is 5 years, actually, right about now. And so this is kind of an anniversary of sorts. So,
that's true.
You know, when I first connected with you and the church and the school, it just felt like a good fit. And, you know, we do teach the same thing but different. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a juxtaposition, if you will, that comes at the same things but from a very different place. But we're all saying the same thing. So it's such a good kind of a process. And, you know, there are a lot of learning curves. You know, there's always learning curves, and we grow together. And so, you know, I'm very grateful to be here too. You know, if we can just switch back to relationships a bit, I would like to share a formula, if I may.
Go ahead.
When you're meeting someone, and in all my years of work, and I've been doing readings and counseling work for over 40 years with people, and I observed and had my own experiences to boot, I might add, but I've observed a formula. When you meet somebody, the first 6 months teaches you everything you need to know about somebody. And I mean everything. And it's usually the smallest things that are the biggest giveaways. Like if somebody spilled a glass of milk and they get really mad, that's an indicator. You know? And there's these little, I call them brush strokes of behavior. So everything you need to know is shown in those first 6 months. Now, the second 6 months is how we change as a result of shared space. And what I mean by that is, you know, we kind of rub off on each other. Yes, there's an energy signature, but we have to also give a little bit of room for rubbing off and uplifting, and hopefully with, you know, the 10 principles are killer. You know, keeping all that in mind, how do two people grow together? So you've had one whole year now of, you know, celebrating birthdays, special events, family, meeting friends, and interconnecting. And by the end of that 1 year, if you still are dissatisfied, leave it. I mean this, because you're not going to change somebody. Don't hold out hope that, oh, a little more time. It's because everything you need to know and experience and who you are, how you feel about yourself within that 1 year period, do not invest any more time if you feel, you know, tired or exhausted or frustrated. Any of these things that saying, wow, you know, I just, well, we've been through a hard time. Everybody's been through a hard time. I'll tell you, nothing bugs me more than to hear somebody say, well, he's had a really hard life and his last relationship was really bad.
Yeah.
So is yours. What does that make you? Because I truly believe this, and please, everyone, hear me. Love transcends all other things. When you really meet a place of love and you meet that other partner who is with you, every bad thing in your life is forgotten. And I mean this seriously. It's true. And that doesn't mean we don't have little glitches or behaviors or we're not emotionally tripping over ourselves from time to time. But even doing that, we want to be better. We want to be better human beings. We want to bring more to the relationship. We don't bring in all the baggage and say, here. Because when somebody has ever said that to me about, well, you know, it reminds me of when I knew so-and-so, I say, well, then you're not looking at me. When you look at me, you're seeing somebody else, and this isn't going to work. Because when we're together, you need to see me. So And vice versa. I see you. I don't see all the other people I've known before. I see you. So please, those little tiny, you know, like little bits of experience, if I can just share that with you. Don't waste time in relationships that don't uplift you. Waste your time.
Good points. So before I continue on with number 5 of my 10 points, I just also want to mention that I appreciate my son, Michael Kelly, who produces this show and does it each week and takes the interest that he does. So I think I've covered about everybody.
So sorry, I interrupted
everybody concerned.
That.
Yeah. That's okay.
Michael is just awesome. Awesome guy.
He is. And I can say that even without bias. And if I was biased, I'd really, yeah, you're really awesome. Yeah. All right, number 5 is communicate and collaborate. Lack of communication will kill any relationship. And poor communication will really hurt the relationship. But lack of communication will eventually kill any relationship. So when you're in a close relationship, you need to communicate. And you need to communicate appropriately. That means zero arguing. Some people say, we have a great relationship. You know, we only have an argument here and there. Well, you know what? I guess it's all reference because that's not my definition of a great relationship. If you're arguing, that's a problem. You don't argue. Tracy and I have been married, 17 years this year, been together 18 years. We still have yet to have an argument. We've never had a single argument. Some people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I don't care. We've never argued. We don't argue ever for any reason. There's no reason to argue. So let's talk about conflict resolution. You know, you would think that two adults could have a mature adult-like conversation, which does not include arguing. It's pointless. Gets you nowhere. Learn how to disagree without being disagreeable. You know, honey, I appreciate your position on that. I just hold a different opinion, but you know, more power to you. You know, that kind of a thing. Now, kind of in line with what Dr. Hunter just said, if you find that the other person is doing things that makes you upset all the time, they're not pulling their load, they're not doing their share, whatever, then you have a problem with the relationship. You know, you're probably not with the right person, because here's the deal. You know, anytime somebody's unwilling to change, if there's a problem in the relationship, they're unwilling to change, it's not going to get any better. You leave it. That's the deal, you know. Anytime you're in a relationship with somebody who's doing something they shouldn't be and they're unwilling to change, you need to end it. It's over. It's, you know, one of the things that I found a lot in my work with those in alcoholic relationships, and I don't work with alcoholics or addicts. I work with the non-alcoholics or non-addicts, the codependents. One of the things that I see, especially on the part of younger women, is this whole knight in shining armor thing. I can fix him. And, you know, they overlook a lot of stuff because of this fantasy, this illusion that they're under, that this is my knight in shining armor. What happens is it turns out to be their nightmare in shining armor. And that will happen. So just like Dr. Hunter said, the relationship is not uplifting. You need to move on. It's just, life is too short and it's way too long to stay in a relationship that only gets you down, that puts you down, that keeps you down, that's discouraging, that's not uplifting. So that's number 5. Learn how to have a healthy adult-like conversation without arguing. Number 6, show mutual honor and respect as equals. This follows right in line with the previous one. You know, and that's where healthy validation usually comes into play. Honor the other person. Give them the good word. Tell them that they did a nice job. You look nice today, honey. You know, or wow, you did a great job on that. That really looks great. You know, things like that. Give them that encouragement, that upbuilding words. Number 7, evolve while maintaining your individual identity. This is an important one, especially in intimate relationships. You know, one common aspect of abusive relationships is that one person assumes the identity of the other. And this can happen in any unhealthy relationship. Well, you're two individuals. You're adults. You each have an identity and you each have your energy signature, hopefully healthy, and those energy signatures are harmonically compatible. That doesn't mean that you surrender your identity to somebody else. that means that you both grow in your own way while kind of growing in the same direction. You know, so you've got to maintain your individual identity. Know and accept yourself. Know and accept the other person. And if you know and accept the other person for who they are, then you're not going to gripe at them. You're not going to nag them. You're not going to try to control them. Okay? So have your own identity. Let them have theirs. You know, we all need downtime. And so let the other person have their downtime. And you take your downtime as needed. There's nothing wrong with that. This Leo Biscaglia, and I think he might have passed, I don't remember. But he once wrote, don't smother each other. No one can grow in the shade. So don't smother each other. Be who you are. Learn, grow, evolve. Be complete in yourself. Allow the other person to be the same or to do the same. Number 8, hold true to your commitments and never betray another's trust. There are many important aspects that go into relationships. In my opinion, the two most important traits of any relationship is communication and trust. They're equally important. Never betray another person's trust, folks. And I'm going to get a little direct on this one, okay? There are many ways we can betray another person's trust. If we say we're going to do something and we don't, we're in essence betraying the other person. If you promise to do something and you don't, you're betraying it. Now, there can be small instances of this, but there can be egregious ones too. You know, if you are in a closed relationship, meaning, you know, basically you don't allow other people into your relationship for sexual things. If you step out or cheat on the other person, you have now really betrayed your relationship. It's like a broken vase. You know, you can maybe glue it back together, but you'll always see the crack. Once somebody's betrayed your trust, you can never trust them like you once did. Anytime somebody betrays a trust in this serious manner like this, the relationship that you once had is over. Now, many people say, oh, you know, that's, you can go to marriage counseling and you can come back together and resolve your issues. Maybe you can, but it'll never be the same relationship. They'll always be wondering, geez, they did it once, will they do it again? So don't betray the other person. If you're tempted to step out on your partner when you have a closed relationship, not an open relationship, if you're tempted to step out and cheat on them, then you need to end that relationship. Do them a favor, do yourself a favor, and end the relationship. Then you can go and be with whoever you want without the betrayal of trust. At least that's the right thing to do. It's the honorable thing to do. You know, don't betray another's trust, especially in these close relationships like this. You know, I don't know how else to say it. It's stupid. You know, well, it was a moment of temptation. Well, that's because that's who you are. If you were a loyal person with integrity, you wouldn't act on any of that. And if you feel like you need to act on it, first dissolve your previous relationship, your current relationship, then go do what you will. But don't betray their trust for any reason. Number 9, keep the relationship alive. Go on date nights. Do things together that are special for the two of you. Kind of keep some life in it. And number 10, settle only for win-win. And I've kind of talked about that already. You know, and Dr. Hunter talked about that. If the relationship is not upbuilding, if it's not encouraging and positive, then maybe it's time to rethink things. Any comments, Dr. Hunter?
Well, you know, I've seen relationships repair after indiscretions, but it isn't the same. People make decisions to stay in a relationship for a great number of reasons, but they are changed as a result. And so a lot of the time I don't tell people to leave. I don't tell them what to do, you know, in my work. But I say if in the event of staying, then you accept the new sets of rules. And it's just to be accepting of that. It's that simple. If somebody stays in a relationship for security and money, then you have no right to criticize or judge the partner who's providing for you. And a lot of people are willing to live this way. You know, it's not necessarily something I would do. That's not a healthy relationship for me and not where my spirit wants to go. But I can't necessarily begrudge people, you know, when they're have no access to income or funds and so on, and they make their decisions for their own reasons. So, you know, with respect, these are ideal principles. It's an ideal world that we're all looking to work toward. That's what we want. And getting into a relationship, it's best to know this up front. You know, I was having a talk with my second daughter today, and actually both my daughters, we had lunch, and my second daughter said, you know, right up front, her and her husband 8 years ago set the rules in motion, and they've just always been really respectful that way. She doesn't worry about what he's going to eat for lunch. She said, that's his problem. You know, if she does the cooking, he does the cleanup. And, you know, they kind of find that balance between them, but they are not taking care of one another. They're always in support of one another. And truly, they do have, they're both really OCD. They both have their little quirks and they both have their things, but it works for them. And I've never seen two more adoring people. And but that's something, if in that relationship, which they would never have an indiscretion, I really believe that. But if somebody ever even thought about stepping out, they are so brutally honest with each other that they would just say, hey, I've had this thought, so something's wrong with me. Not you, but me, because that's the kind of relationship that they have. But and it's so truthful. There are very, very few of the, you know, Doug and Tracy Kellys of the world. There are very few, because very few people know how to set a healthy relationship in motion. There aren't really a lot of healthy people to choose from when you're single and out there. And I'm just telling it like it is, because I know that a lot of our listeners, a lot of our students, a lot of people, a lot of my clients, they just don't have access to, you know, healthy people. So the best place to start, honestly, is find things that you love to do and connect in, you know, where you have a shared kind of interest, a shared life interest, a shared lifestyle. You know, maybe it's everybody likes to go bowling, you know, or it's not necessarily going to happen in the online dating, folks. So find places and ways where you can have friendships with people. Set the terms, know what you're looking for, know who you are, be as healthy as possible. And the minute you see something that's not quite right, be yourself, speak on your own behalf, because nobody else is going to. Speak up, make your claim in a good, healthy way, and see where the relationship builds from there. Because if you're in the right relationship, somebody else will also be willing and want to bring what they have to the relationship too. It's a two-way street. There's nothing worse than being in a relationship all by yourself. Remember that. Nothing worse than doing it by yourself.
All right, so we're gonna be wrapping up here shortly. So if you want a card pulled for you, go ahead and mention it in the chat room. And while you're doing that, if anyone wants one, I'm going to comment on a couple of things in the chat room. The comment was made, I think there's nothing wrong with healthy arguments. And so I think I need to clarify myself here. When I was talking about arguing a few minutes ago, I'm talking about shouting and really getting into a battle, you know, an argument. And you're speaking out, you're shouting, you're yelling and all that. So that's what I was referring to. I probably wasn't as clear as it should have been on that. Now, an argument can be had in very calm voices. You can argue a point. They do that in court a lot of times. You know, they'll argue a point. So then technically it's an argument, but it's not a shouting match. So when I was mentioning arguments, I'm talking about shouting. There's no point in shouting or yelling at each other, things like that. So I wanted to make sure that was cleared. So we have
Tabitha.
Tabby. Okay, we'll pull a card.
Tabitha, I just pulled number 11 for you. Number 10, which is the indomitable power of the human spirit. I love that one. So this is what it says. The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way. So that's a really good message for you today.
And what was the face value of that one again?
That is number 10 in the existential. That's the indomitable power of the human spirit.
And then Fran wants one.
Hi, Francis. Gratitude, number 36, service to self and others. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without wanting for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended. So however that resonates with you today, friend, that's a little message for you.
Okay, so we're going to start wrapping things up here. Hopefully the points we've gone over tonight have been valuable to you and have been a help. Again, I appreciate everyone being here. I wanted to mention it to our students who are listening. If you want to, if you've gotten your bachelor's, master's, or doctorate degree since last May and you want to participate in the graduation ceremony online that we're having on May 7th, be sure to go to the Student Center at IMHS and register for that. Same for our Thomas Francis students. If anyone's gotten their bachelor's, master's, doctorate degree and want to participate, that you can do that. Just go to the dashboard and you'll see the link for the info there. And it's been a good discussion. We appreciate your comments in the chat room. We have another great discussion in a week or so. Thanks to everybody again. Thanks, Dr. Hunter and Michael Kelly. Till next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.